In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Okay. I did it.
You sound like a kid who's learning how to use the potty.
I pushed the button. I pushed the button. We have been recording for 16 seconds.
Excellent.
By the time I finished saying that, it was 17. Hello. Welcome to episode 42 of the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is the only podcast. It's been a long week.
Yeah, I'll bet it
has. I got bupkis.
Well.
But this is the only one.
Yep.
This is the only podcast. There are no other podcasts.
No.
This is it. The Once and Future podcast. But it's a very important week for us. Episode 42.
Yes.
This podcast is the answer.
That's correct.
To life, the universe, and everything.
It may be. If the proponents of the Mayan apocalypse are correct, it may be the last end-of-year podcast we ever do. In fact,
our
solstice podcast next year might not even air.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll still record it.
That's right.
But
yeah,
we'll be screaming and flying airplanes through falling.
But even if it does, this one will not.
No.
If they're correct. Because we won't have recorded this one. I mean, the world will be over.
No, this one...
Do you think we'll have recorded this one? No, see, it's supposed to happen.
Currently recording this one.
I mean, the one at the end of the year next year.
That's like, not this one.
Like the one that should be the very last one. We won't even record
that. Yeah,
but
that's not this one.
No, I know that.
This is episode 42.
Yes, I understand.
You're talking about episode 94.
Or something like that.
Well, okay, I had a whole big run of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy jokes, but you just chomped it with your Mayan apocalypse.
Sorry. The Mayan apocalypse does tend to tromp things.
Seriously, the number of times I've had setups for jokes and you ruined them with the Mayan apocalypse.
We need hand signals or something so I know.
We need the...
Stop, because I got jokes.
Ixnay on the Mayan apocalypse. Hand signal. Something like this.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. And y'all don't know it because you can't see.
I'm not going to tell.
I am on the down end of a bad head cold that has now gotten into my chest. So I'm coughing, and I know how much you all love that. So get excited. Get pumped because I'm going to be coughing the shit out of this episode.
I'll bet they can't wait.
So much. This is the last episode of the year.
Of the year, yep.
We don't have the producer here, so stop whining. She's in the other room. She did seem to garner some favorable reaction, though.
Oh, well, that wasn't surprising.
It's so good that now I'm not the second most popular on the show, but in fact, actually, I shouldn't even say that. I was the third most popular before. And if Mark is to believe, the fourth most popular. Because we count the hat, which doesn't even talk. But it was good to just sort of cement that position.
Yes, yes.
And she may be back in the future if you show her the love, people. Show her the love. Give her tribute. You know, properly worship. That's what I did, and she keeps showing up for me. So picked me up from work today, even.
Wow. You went to work.
Oh, yeah.
Not feeling very good, huh?
It hasn't been that bad. It sounds bad, but this is just you know how that happens where you get kind of sick and then you get the cough and the cough just doesn't go away for a long time. That's where I don't actually feel that bad.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I think the producer caught it.
Mm.
She'd been feeling crappy all day, but luckily she was home. We had a 3-day work week for us.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Friday and Monday of Christmas off and the Friday, Monday of New Year's off.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 days, but she took today off. That's kind of tricky because, like, a whole bunch of people just take the whole week off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just sort of the skeleton crew, and we're all just like, we just got to get through these 3 days and have another 4-day weekend. So it was kind of rough.
But you've got 4 days now. After
I got 4 days. I am psyched about that. New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's.
Got some actual New Year's plans.
Yes, you do. You already talked about that.
Did I?
Yeah, you said you were going to role play, and then there was going to be a couple movies, including Black Dynamite and
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Yep, we have finalized that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk holidays. Let's talk Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah, or let's talk the time where you get shit from other people.
I didn't get anything, really, except from really? You guys. I did from you guys. That was nice.
Your family didn't get you nothing?
I told you, we don't really exchange gifts.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just...
What's wrong with you people?
Well, you know, when we were growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and sometimes there wasn't very much for Christmas, and we just didn't... It was never that important to us to do that.
No, but I'm not talking about your growing up family. I'm talking about your current household, where you live family.
Oh, well, you know, two kids, what are they going to buy me? Nothing.
They don't have a macaroni necklace or something.
They don't have any money.
Please, I still got my parents' gifts when I was a kid.
well, they don't do that. Ugh. And it's okay because I don't really want them to.
Ugh,
but, they, you know, they got stuff. Of course, the kids do. Kids always get stuff. But
bless you.
But, you know, it's just not a big deal. It's never really been a big thing for me or my family to exchange gifts.
Ugh.
So it doesn't bother me. But, I mean, I heard that you...
Oh,
that that Santa Claus, somehow in a fit of dementia, actually gave you everything you wanted.
Because
we know you're not on the nice list. We know that.
This reminds me of something. Hey, Trish.
Yeah?
Where's the thing for William?
It's on the washing machine.
I can't really get it.
I'll get it later.
I could...
But I want to get it on the air. Oh, okay. We'll get back to that, people.
I can wait.
We'll get back to that.
You don't have to bother everybody in the house for me.
What do you mean everybody? There's one more person. Didn't bug the cats. They don't give a damn.
Well, I'm already bothering you and the cats.
Yeah, but how is that new?
It's not, I guess.
Like, I can't sleep some nights for bothered by you.
I know.
Just in my head going, boom, boom, boom. He's still doing that, people.
I have that.
He's still signing
people.
All his goddamn emails. Boom.
Well.
And today I even wrote in the email, don't say boom. You know what he said in response? Bien. And when I responded to that was not what I was guessing he was going to say. You know how he responded to that response? Boom. Motherfucker.
Well.
That is Mitt Romney calling. Holy shit.
Well, he heard you were a Mormon instead of
a
Buddhist.
He calls me at work.
He has to call you at work.
Seriously, no. He calls me at work. Dan Quayle calls me at work. Nobody knows how. It's only my work number. I mean, we have a whole big, you know, corporate thing, and my number somehow got picked. He's been calling here all night. Oh, my God. I get so tired of it.
Well.
I'm going to get them. But, yes, in answer to your earlier, I don't know if it was a question, comment, yes, I got all the Christmas presents this year.
How does that even happen? I mean, that's not how it's supposed to work, you know?
Mostly because my parents love me very much, and my in-laws love me very much, and my in-laws... came into money when they got older.
Well,
and so it works out well for me. I got everything.
You've got them all fooled, you mean?
Oh yeah, totally.
The con is working.
Totally. I got 8 books that I asked for.
Eight books. Jeez.
I got...
That sounds like a lot of books.
Two movies that I asked for, including Black Dynamite.
I thought you already had Black Dynamite.
I may have come across an electronic file in passing somewhere, but no, now I own an actual copy of the DVD.
They made an honest man out of you then.
Apparently. So two DVDs, two video games.
What video games?
Final Fantasy 13 and Mass Effect 2.
Oh, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Electric Boogaloo, exactly. And I got this awesome, weird, solitaire chess thing that, like, is all these puzzles to play to learn better chess, which I'm kind of excited about. The producer and I both got a pressure cooker, which I'm really excited about.
Pressure cookers are cool.
I am really excited about it. Damn thing can make 6-minute homemade mac and cheese without cooking the pasta first.
It can do a lot of things.
It has a recipe called emergency pork.
Do you
know what you do for emergency pork? You take frozen pork, you shove it in there, you pour some tomato sauce on it, you cook the damn thing. You hit the button and it goes.
Is it large enough to help with canning and things like that?
No, we have a pressure canner but that's different.
Gotcha.
And because these people can't figure out enough for me, I got quite a bit of money as well. So I got all the stuff I wanted plus money. money.
That's good.
And I'm still figuring out what to do with the money. Popular theories include buying new sound equipment for the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Like an actual mixer and each us our own mics, stuff like that.
Jeez. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
But that's okay. It probably won't happen.
Okay.
And also, what I'm really thinking about is an iPod Touch.
Oh.
Because an iPod Touch gives me all the cool things that I want in a smartphone without giving me a phone. And without me having to pay for a phone. Which makes me happy. As many of you already know, I am one of the slowly dying breed that doesn't own a cell phone. And I'm getting kind of jealous because I want to do a lot of stuff on smartphones. But I still don't really want a cell phone. And more importantly, I don't want to pay a monthly fee. So I'm thinking an iPod Touch may be good because it'll cover just about all of that.
Okay.
So,
sounds like a plan.
I won Christmas.
Good job.
Thank you. So what'd you actually do for the holidays? I assume you did something that was like personally heartwarming and self-satisfying since you didn't bury all your sorrows in material possessions like I did.
No, we just went to, went to Des Moines.
Everybody go?
Like I said, Scott, I think I said last time that we were going to my oldest brother's house.
Yes.
And everybody was there, so it was fine. It's good. Good time had by all.
Okay, here's the producer to present William with his other gift.
Is it chicken?
Because the last one went as well as Tony and
no,
smoked.
And this is... It's
a bag full of chicken.
It's a bag of chicken. Oh, that would be awesome. Go and get that instead. This is for your whole family, though. You have to share this.
I have to share it?
You have to share this.
You know how bad I am at sharing.
So much. You don't have to share the t-shirt.
Oh, wow. We have some preserves here. This is cold soother. What's that?
It is...
Oh, crap.
It's crap, apparently.
No, it's not crap. It has lemon and lime and juices and candied ginger and honey.
Yeah. It's like stuff that will clear up your sinuses and stuff.
Wow.
And lots of vitamin C.
Peach rosemary jam. Peach rosemary jam. You know, last time you got... What was it you gave me that one time? It was
spiced pear.
Yeah. That was good. Let's see what else we got here. They can probably hear this really loud.
It's a hedgehog!
On the thing.
Yeah, it sounds like we're burning the place down.
Oops, the label. Where's the label on this one?
On the top.
Oh. Roasted pepper mango jam.
Roasted pepper mango jam. That stuff is really good.
Oh, man, that's going to be good. I can already tell. See what else we...
Maybe is the letter in there?
There's a letter? Did someone tell you guys I read?
No, let's there's see. A thing that will...
Oh, pickled garlic.
Oh, pickled garlic.
Nice.
Oh, that stuff is
Oh, and there's
amazing.
Some candy and stuff. That's nice.
No, we'll get you a thing later that has specifically what's in all of them and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
There's
no, it looks good. Thank you so much.
No problem. I did so much in that.
To the rights.
See, this is what I love.
Well, it's just,
I have a wife who can stuff all the time, and when I think, why the hell does she do this? Then the holidays come around, and all of our presents are just covered.
What? You know why she does it? Because you eat the stuff. Eventually, it's like, oh, yeah.
Not as much as she makes, but then we give it to people.
Okay.
We spent a Sunday where we just went through everybody, like, what would they like? And we put them in things, and there we go. And everybody loves them, and it's beautiful.
Well, yeah, they're very good.
Yes. I hope they're hearing this. The little volume things aren't going good. Talk louder.
Okay. Sorry.
That's not louder. That's even quieter still.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
I have a small voice.
Small voice, but a big heart.
Apparently.
Big heart.
It's a pretty dangerous medical condition, actually.
Yes.
I can't get too excited.
An enlarged heart. I always wondered how long the Grinch lived after finding the true meaning of Christmas.
Well, it didn't really matter because it was a better quality life. He had a better quality of life for a few years than he'd had for several years before that.
Even a few years? I mean, I'm thinking he may have, like, had a heart attack while eating the roast beast.
Still, he died happy, and that's
the
important.
The phone has been ringing all night, and I'm about ready to
We
punch
don't really
somebody.
Get called by political... Well, again, we're not registered as anything, so maybe
No, I
called.
Like the producer's plan that each year I will register for whichever party has the incumbent.
You don't think they'll call you, huh?
Not at that. We haven't gotten any calls from Democrats.
I suppose.
Because what are they going to say? Remember the guy who's in there? Go with him. I mean, they might later.
They're not leaving any messages, it doesn't sound like.
They often do. They're not tonight. So maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the start of a horror movie.
We should probably remind everybody that we're in Iowa and the caucuses are coming up in a few weeks.
Yes.
So
we are, everybody, we're in Iowa. And the caucuses are coming up in a few weeks.
They might not know
now,
or remember.
This is a good one for you, but you need to get into the mic and do this. But I want you to explain to people who don't know what the caucus is, because most states don't have caucuses.
Well, it's...
Get on in there.
It's something that each party does. Well, I shouldn't say each party. Well, I don't know who does it exactly. I know the Democrats and Republicans do it. And the registered Republicans and registered Democrats go to their respective caucus sites. And there's lots of them throughout the state. I mean, I think there's over... Well, I'm not going to say how many I think there is because I don't want to sound stupid. But
over
there's,
that many.
There's lots. And if you're a registered Republican or Democrat, you go to a specific place that the Republicans or Democrats tell you to go. And what you do is you discuss the platform, the party platform, and things of that nature that the Iowa Republicans or the Iowa Democrats are going to sort of stand for, I guess. And that's a big part of the caucus is actual policy discussions and people break down into groups and things like that.
But that's not the part anybody cares about. Get to the part they care about.
Then, I think it's near the end of it that they do this. People break into groups and they break into the groups that's determined by which candidate that you like. So during the Republican caucus at some time in the evening, there's going to be a little group of people who are, say, Ron Paul supporters, a little group that are Mitt Romney supporters, a little group that support Santorum, for example. And you actually try to get more people in your group because some people who show up might not be decided or whatever. So the people who support a particular candidate very strongly will go to other groups or to wherever the undecided people are and try to get them to join their group. And then each individual site ends up sort of picking a candidate that, you know, or putting forth the candidate they favor most. And through that entire process in all of these places, throughout the state, the party comes up with a candidate that they like, you know, best. It's actually a really involved, very grassroots, somewhat complicated process. And it's probably no surprise that the Iowa caucus is actually not very good at picking who the eventual nominee or president is going to be, because it's very it's kind of chaotic, really, and you really don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know who they're going to pick. It could be really just about anybody. I mean, they try to guess based on polls and stuff, but
well, and in a given place during the caucus, though, they don't just pick one person. It's you have to have X number of people,
yeah,
to be viable, and so then that gets you a person,
right,
a representative. And if you don't have enough, if you are, say, well, to go back to the 08 one, the Dennis Kucinich group, then you go someplace. If you want anything, you go. You say, well, we need to go to a different candidate then, because you don't have enough people.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right.
And that's when they try and
right
convince you. And sociologically speaking, I find the caucuses incredible. Politically speaking, I think they're ridiculous. I think they're exactly the opposite of what you want in politics.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about.
Well, but it's the epitome. Remember how you were getting all fired up about, you know, your right to vote for a third party, even when, you know, people say it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
To me, this is the exact thing. You're basically taking people who have a strong voice for a minority candidate and saying, yeah, you're not going to win, so why don't you pretend your voice is for this other
okay,
guy?
And that's fine, except this isn't... This is how the parties in Iowa do it, and it's for a nomination. It's not really for...
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this isn't... They're not voting for president. They're voting for who they want to be the Republican candidate for president, which...
But that's the thing. They're not voting.
Well, but what I'm saying is that I don't think... For whatever reason, the Iowa Democrats and Republicans have decided that that's not important. That everybody everybody gets, that all the Republicans get a vote, say, on who the nominee is.
Yeah. No, and I don't.
It's not a democratic process, really.
And I don't begrudge them their right to do it. I just think it's a terrible way to do things.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing I like about the caucuses is, people try to guess what's going to happen ahead of time. And sometimes you have really strong supporters who know who they're going to support as soon as they get there, and they're not going to change their mind. But the fact of the matter is, a person can go there. They can go through the entire process of going through the planks of the platform and talking about where the candidates stand on everything. So when everyone breaks out into their little groups, you know, someone who went there really supporting one person could easily switch. A lot of the people who go there undecided, which I would assume these days, especially, is the majority, you know, nobody knows what they're going to do. So a lot of the polls that you have ahead of time where a person might, because it's a poll and it forces them to choose, and they might say, well, I guess if I was going to decide today, I'd pick this guy. It's completely irrelevant when they actually get to the caucus and, you know, they're in that environment and they're talking to all these different people and nobody knows what they're going to do. So I don't know if the polls really matter.
This happened in 08. Hillary Clinton did really poorly in the Iowa caucuses,
mm-hmm.
and she did really well in the polls beforehand. Oddly enough, what appears to have done that is, by and large, people were very put off by the diehard supporters that were there originally. I have spoken to people from multiple caucus sites that said that the Clinton camp at the caucuses were very pushy, very sort of shrill, doing a lot of, if you just think about it, she's the right choice. And so if you don't think she's the right choice, you're just not thinking about it right. Well, such that people who I know who honestly, like, their first choice was somebody who ended up not being viable, and their second choice was gonna be Clinton, and they didn't do it just because they were pissed off at those people.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing that can happen.
And that seems to have happened in such a large degree that she did not do well in
on the Republican side. The person who came out in front in the caucuses last cycle was Mike Huckabee, I think, and we all know that. You know, he didn't have a very successful campaign after that. So what I like about it is it's very grassroots. I mean, the number of sites throughout the state, it's a huge number. And if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you know, you get to review the platform of your party. You get a good idea of where all of the candidates stand. And no matter what you thought beforehand, before the caucus, you can, you know, easily change your mind in light of all the new information that you're getting at the caucus. And people are sort of wheeling and dealing with each other, but not these aren't lobbyists or corporate types. These are just ordinary people. And so, you know, I think that a person can make a fairly good argument that once a particular caucus site reaches a decision, that no, it's not what you would call a purely Democratic decision. But it's one where there was a lot of debate, a lot of discussion. The platform of the party was at the forefront of everyone's mind, so it wasn't just about one or two issues. And, you know, eventually I think when the caucus is over, you get an idea of what Iowa Democrats and Iowa Republicans really think about the field. But that's all it tells you. It doesn't tell you who the best candidate's going to be, say, for the nation or anything like that. And frequently that's the way the nation takes it is, well, that's Iowa's opinion. And the rest of us think very differently. So when people complain about Iowa and suggest that, you know, early states are deciding the race, I can see what they mean by that when after the caucus some people drop out. But I doubt that those people didn't drop out, they would do so great later on anyway. So I don't think Iowa really hurts anybody. And I don't think it, so far, it doesn't look like it really helps anybody. So it's really just Iowa giving their opinion and everybody else makes up their own mind later anyway, so.
America wants to know, William, do you caucus?
No. The caucuses are really for the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't know. I think there might be an independent caucus. I don't know. But since I'm not a party person, I don't caucus. And I'm not really interested in who's nominated because I don't normally vote Republican or Democrat. So.
You heard it here first, people. I don't know what. I'm really not on my game tonight. So, congratulations. You get a lot more William tonight.
Oh, you think? That's too bad.
No, dude. You're higher up on the ladder than me.
I'm one up. Behind the hat and the producer. We're probably tied for last place is what it really comes down to.
We still need those Team William, Team Tony shirts. Okay, we're almost a half hour in. You think we should...
No, we just bored them talking about the caucuses.
What do you mean we, SA?
I'm sorry, just bored them talking about the caucuses. You asked me to, so I did.
I know. We have not... You know, a week or two ago, I put out a request for additional write-ins to the hat.
Mm-hmm.
We got one.
Oh, wow.
So people... Actually, we also got a thing from Mark about how the Gravatar website was doing a holiday thing where you could put a hat on your Gravatar. But I really didn't know what to do with that, so...
What's Gravatar?
It's your internet-wide avatar.
Oh.
Like, you do it there, and then you can go to all sorts of forums, and it'll just put it in.
How nice.
It's what a lot of people have been using on our site.
Oh.
So, yeah, other than that, we got one question. So, people, help us out here. Show your love for the hat by writing the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write the hat with a question... Or a topic, something simple, something short. Doesn't have to be funny. Doesn't even have to sound good itself. Something that you would like us to talk about. You say it, we'll talk about it.
Maybe.
Sort of.
We don't make any promises. We don't want to be sued.
No. That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, it kind of would be, wouldn't it? Maybe we do want to be sued.
Oh. watched a movie last night.
What's that?
Movie I'd seen before. Mm-hmm. The producer had not seen before. Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about it. Sure. I've seen that, too. I don't remember a lot about it.
I had sort of forgotten how much I liked it. I'd forgotten a lot about it. And it really is up there tied with Spirited Away and Totoro for what my favorite... And I don't even really count Totoro because I just love Totoro for personal reasons.
Hmm.
But, like, so pretty much when I talk about my favorite Studio Ghibli movie, it's Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle sort of have to fight for it. And I forgot, every time I see it, too, it keeps making me want to read the novel upon which it is based.
Oh, I didn't even know that was based on a novel.
It is. You did, and you forgot, because in the opening credits, it says Howl's Moving Castle, based on the novel by...
Well, I don't know if I noticed that.
So for a second, you knew... Or you were out getting popcorn.
Yeah, I might have been getting something to drink or something.
Why don't you pay more attention to us?
I don't know. Because I'm a bad person.
That's what I think.
Yep.
Okay, so, hat.
Okay, hat.
And I hope we don't say anything too funny. If I start laughing, it's going to hurt.
Well, I don't think...
Because I'm going to get a big coughing fit.
You know what? I think people who... have the problem like you have where...
By the way, grab dinner.
Where it'll hurt if they laugh. I think one of the things they do is listen to our podcast, so...
Because that helps keep them calm and unlaughing.
Yep.
So we could be like a medical treatment.
You never know. Always,
I like it.
Always looking for the angles. Michelle.
Michelle! Blood Sparrow.
Says... Shoehorning movies into a 3D format doesn't suddenly make them better. Or does it? No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't. Did we address this?
not shoehorning movies into a 3D format. We didn't really address that.
No, but they are. I mean, it's... This is happening. This is happening with Avengers, I think.
So they didn't...
Avengers is not being shot in 3D.
It's not being shot in 3D. It's in a post-production 3D... mock-up,
and
right?
I don't know. Like, does that make it worse 3D? I mean, could you tell the difference?
Well...
If you went to a movie, could you be like, was this shot in 3D, or was this turned into it later?
I think if you know what to look for, you can tell
shit
the difference.
Jumping at the screen.
Well, like, I think the post-production 3D, whatever they do, it's... First of all, it's not as impressive. Like, you know, you'll put on the glasses and everything, and maybe halfway through it, you'll think to yourself, is this even really in 3D? Because it's not really popping out like
I had that with
should.
The Alice in Wonderland. A lot of it just made it look like it was a diorama.
Yeah, something like that. So I think you can kind of tell the difference. And, of course, they don't do it to make the movie better. They do it to sell more tickets.
Make the tickets more expensive.
At a higher price, and so... You know.
But no, it does not make the movie better at all.
And if you're not going to shoot it in 3D, obviously, you know, Avatar again, I'm sure the decision to shoot it in 3D was an artistic decision that they thought would actually enhance the storytelling. If you haven't made that decision when you're shooting the film, thinking, okay, shooting it in 3D will enhance the storytelling, then it's not likely that... doing the post-production 3D treatment is going to enhance the storytelling in any way. So, you know, there's really... It's obviously not a decision the artists are doing. It's a decision that the studio's making.
So is this going to stop at some point, or is this just going to keep happening until we get 4D? I mean, because at this point, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think that, again... The studios are making decisions based on things other than, you know, artistic merit. They're inundating the market with 3D films that where the 3D doesn't seem to make it better, which is hurting the films that might actually be more interesting in 3D. And people are getting sort of tired of it and burn out on it, and the novelty's wearing off.
And it's getting... I mean, I'm waiting for the re-release of My Dinner with Andre in 3D. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous.
Well, I think it would have been nice if the movies that would really have benefited from being in 3D, where the storytelling would have been enhanced and the shooting in 3D would have made it really nice, if those films could be out there and the films that would not benefit from that would just be what they are. And people could appreciate 3D for what it is, but unfortunately, I think they're basically going to make everybody mad. And then so people won't be able to really make 3D films anymore. I think another thing might be driving it, though, is the 3D TV industry. Because,
yeah, but that's dying real fast. Nobody fucking wants one of those.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
I think it's working with some people because we're watching TV at my in-laws, and they do a commercial for a limited engagement re-release of Beauty and the Beast in 3D. And several people around the room were like, oh, I want to see that. And then I slapped them all.
You did, huh?
In my mind.
Oh, okay.
But I stayed quiet. And they were, what the hell? Why would...
I don't know.
This is why I don't breed. Because I don't like the people that my kids would be hanging around with, by which I mean the world.
There may be great wisdom in that decision.
I believe so. Unfortunately, I have some nieces and nephews that I like a lot, and they're stuck with it, so I have to try and fix it. So my plan is to systematically murder all the major movie directors in the country. Wait. Never mind.
He's just joking about that.
Totally. I didn't.
So he's kidding.
You heard. We'll edit that out.
Yeah.
But I got to talk to you later about an idea I have.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I agree. It doesn't make it better. I don't think they do it to make it better. They just.
I do agree that shoehorning movies into 3D after the fact helps to make them more expensive.
I think it's unfortunate because I've seen 3D work. I think it's a great option to have for people who are making a movie that it would suit. And I think pretty soon they won't even be able to do that because the studios will go, oh, nobody wants to watch 3D anymore. Yeah, because you ruined it for everybody.
I hate the third dimension now. I hate depth.
You've always hated terrible. Depth.
I've always not had depth.
You just avoided it in the past.
Exactly.
Now you hate it.
I avoided depth.
You pretended you had the loose change when depth asked for it, and now you punch it right in the face.
Yes. I'm like, fuck you, depth. Get the hell away from me.
Stop panhandling in front of my work.
I will call the cops on you, depth. Keep your snot-nosed kids off of my lawn. I am shallower than ever because of the movie industry.
Well...
Do you think people who bought tickets for Green Lantern in 3D, like, hate themselves now?
I wouldn't know. I mean, we didn't see it in 3D, and I remember after we watched it.
Did you see it in 2D?
Yeah, I did.
You probably should hate yourself now.
Well, yeah, it wasn't. It was a strange film, really, in a lot of ways. But,
strange in a not good sense.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's too bad, I think. I think it could have been something nice for some films, some movie experiences, but now it's ruined for everyone.
So thanks a lot for ruining depth.
It'll probably still survive in, like, you know, if someone is making a film for IMAX or that they think will be in IMAX.
Well, it's not going to go away. I mean, it was around 30 years ago, and now it's suddenly become a thing again. Even if it goes away, it'll come back later.
Yeah, I suppose.
Again, until we discover 4D.
What is 4D?
I don't know. If I did, I'd be a billionaire.
Okay.
Okay, 4D either means... Wait. is either...
I think he slipped into the fourth dimension for just a second
it's
there.
It's either a movie that travels through time while you're watching it, or it's a movie where each side is of the movie is a 3D movie, and so it's a fourth dimensional hyper movie. Or hyper 3D. If you consider a 3D movie to be a film in which every side of it is a two-dimensional movie, then a 4D... I learned about it with the hyper dimensions. So, like, you know, like a cube is every side is a square. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so a fourth-dimensional hypercube, every side is a cube. So a 3D movie is a movie where every side of it is a 2D movie. Wait, does this mean that a 2D movie is a movie where every side is just like a audio?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or just like a picture?
I think a 4D movie is one where you go, you watch it, and when you come out, let's say the film started at 7 o'clock, it's still 7 o'clock. And the benefit, of course, is if you hated it so much, you wish you could get that 2 hours back, there you go.
Actually,
you got your 2 hours back.
So then we can show the crappiest movies ever. No, I will tell you the one thing I know about 4D movies. A ticket costs $30.
Yeah. That's the important thing to know.
And you have to wear special glasses and special underwear.
That you have to put in a receptacle afterwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When
so
the movie's
the next
over.
People can use them.
Yeah,
after
so they can
been
clean
sanitized.
Them up, sanitize them, put them in new packaging, yes. And give them to the people later.
One half is red, one half is blue. Okay, we should really go on. Thank you, Michelle, for that. Okay. It's time to draw something unfunny. This one is from somebody signed only as E, the letter E.
Maybe that's the hat's arch nemesis. I don't know.
E versus the hat?
I don't know. It just sounds like a villain would sign E.
If you take a hat and add an E, you get
hate. That's right.
Oh, God, I hate you. Okay. I read recently that zombies can't love. Is this true? If so, why? They seem to love brains. I wonder why they love brains. This was written in such a way that it seems really profound, although it's really not.
Well, zombies...
Well, I've been listening to a lot of The Nerdist and Jonah Ray in particular, so I can give you zombie expert reasons for these kind of things. Zombies are technically no longer alive, and therefore incapable of emotional states.
Hollywood zombies, you mean? Not the original, say, voodoo zombies.
Weren't they still the risen dead?
No.
They just had their will...
They're being
over.
Controlled by someone else. Right?
Well, in that case, then they're still not capable of it. So, they're already dead. They don't love anything. They have a hunger for, generally not brains. Brains came along later. Zombies traditionally just love human flesh. However, I've seen a lot of counter evidence to this that zombies can, in fact, fall in love. I don't know that they can have little zombie babies.
I don't know any definition of zombie that would allow for any type of complex, well, of any kind of emotion at all, actually. And as far as them, you know, craving brains or anything else, human flesh or whatever it is they crave, that's completely determined by... not emotion or higher brain function or anything else, but by things that, I don't know, supernatural means or the thing that's controlling them or the rules of what a zombie craves. It's not, there's no feeling or thought or choice or anything like that involved, so.
You seem to know an awful lot about this, Mr. William.
I just know about zombies are fairly simple, straightforward characters, and the ones I know about are they don't love anything. It doesn't even make sense to say they love anything, much less brains.
And skee-ball.
Yeah.
They love skee-ball.
But I don't know what.
But everybody loves skee-ball.
I don't know which zombies you're talking about that are capable of love, but perhaps not little zombie babies.
I think
babies.
Zombie the Musical.
Oh.
I think there was one.
Okay, I didn't know that there was a musical about zombies.
Yeah. Oh, man. People are going to love this episode because I don't have my voice.
So if you were to tell a story where zombies could fall in love, it would mean that the zombies have to not so much... They have to be, like, resurrected people whose bodies are still dead and decomposing. But they are who they were when they died. They just are now it's like a ghost except with all of their meat on,
which makes them capable though then, because yeah, the Felix Caster zombies are people who died and whose spirits, rather than pass on, inhabited their old dead body. But, and at that point, they are still capable of all the emotions they had before.
But is that a zombie?
In the Felix Caster world, it is. That's the definition of a zombie, is somebody who died, and then instead of going off to whatever, they inhabit their own dead body to try and keep living, basically.
But their body decomposes.
Yeah, their body's dead.
Okay. So those types of zombies obviously could fall in love.
Totally capable of love.
Yeah.
Including a love of skee-ball.
So I suppose it depends on which zombies you mean. The original, the culture from whence the term was coined, I don't think so. But they're also not dead, so.
Yes, so.
But they are being controlled by somebody else in a manner that doesn't... I mean, they're not being controlled as in if the person controlling them can fall in love while they're... I mean, it doesn't work like that.
No. So Elvira, which is what I'm going to call you, because it starts with an E. It's a wonderful question, but despite the fact that it's about four questions together, it needs more specificity. And possibly Jonah Ray explaining things about zombies. Because we don't know. But I sound a little like one. Brains. That's my favorite zombie bit, is the zombie protesters and say, what do we want? Brains. When do we want it? Brains. I always love that.
Okay.
But good question. Anyway.
E.
Ebenezer. Ezekiel.
Could be a man. It could be a woman.
Esther.
It could be neither or both, I suppose.
The drug ecstasy.
A digested question from someone who signs as droids are better anyways.
Oh, okay.
Dear Magical Talking Hat.
Yes.
That
was me. That wasn't the hat.
I found out my...
Hat doesn't talk.
I found out my company worships Steve Jobs. What should I do?
Wow, this is an awkward question.
Kind of is now.
Yeah, I wonder if it was written before or after.
I don't know.
Because at this point, you arguably could worship him.
I suppose.
The Church of Steve Jobs.
I don't know. It might be too soon. I don't know.
Never too soon to worship. Hell, I started worshiping Jesus when he was born. Don't you remember the wise men showed up? And
you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Well, I don't see. I really don't see the issue with your company worshiping Steve Jobs, unless they think that you must also worship Steve Jobs in order to keep your job.
See, and this could mean a lot of things.
Then that's a problem.
Does this mean that the company uses exclusively Mac computers? Or does this mean that they actually make their business decisions on the belief that Apple, as a company, is infallible?
Well, you know...
I mean, what denomination of Steve Jobs worship are they? Do they believe that the microprocessor actually becomes Steve Jobs' flesh, or just that it symbolizes Steve Jobs' flesh?
After the blessings.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, these are good... questions, and I don't know what the person means exactly. Although it could be that I've worked at a lot of places where if it's a technology company this person works for, I've worked for technology companies that seem to want to do everything the way Microsoft did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Microsoft has best practices and certain processes they use in their business models that they publish and share with some of their technology partners. And so you could say that the technology company I worked for worshipped Bill Gates. You could say that based on the fact that they seem to want to do everything that Microsoft did. So maybe the person is saying that, well, I work for a technology company and, you know, they make a study of how Steve Jobs ran his company, and that's not the way they want to run their company. And I think that that's crappy or something, and I don't like it. Maybe they mean that. I don't know. But either way, if they don't like that their company worships Steve Jobs, then I suppose they should work somewhere else.
No, droids are better anyway. Here's what I'm going to tell you. What you do is the same thing that Mac users have done for decades working in all of these companies that use nothing but PCs. You're going to toe the party line while you're at work, you're going to learn enough to do your job, and then you're going to go home and do whatever perverse, disturbing thing you want with your other computers in the privacy of your own home and mock your employer like we all do when we go home.
Or you could get a different job.
Yes, also that. But really, at this point, quitting jobs, I mean, quitting occupations, also quitting jobs in this case, is not advisable in this market.
Well, is it? Let's talk about the
you
thing.
You realize I am so close to a Brokeback Mountain joke here that it's making me uncomfortable.
Making you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the thing that I suppose nobody really wants to talk about, which is what are the options here for conversion? I mean, could the person just convert to Steve Jobs worship from whatever they're...
You can. It's like Scientology. It just takes a lot of money to do it.
Okay.
But conversion is definitely an option.
Well, maybe it's worth it.
There are those who will look down on you for not having been born into it.
Yeah, the people who were born into it will look down.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
They'll call you mudbloods.
Well, I wonder, though, too, if you know, your family might not agree with it for a while. Probably the part where you have to leave, you have to, in your will, include Apple as the beneficiary of your will and receiving your estate. They might not like that too much.
But, yeah, but I mean, you'll be dead.
No, yeah, you'll be dead. You won't even know.
I have known a lot of people who have come out as Mac users to their family.
Mm.
It's about 50-50. Like, some have totally been embraced. Others, you know, we don't even want to know you. And some, you know, pay lip service to it, but then family gatherings are always awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's even worse since the iPhone.
Right, right.
Because, you know, you could get a call at the table.
Yeah, and then what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So
airplane mode for all of Thanksgiving break,
right.
Basically.
So embarrassing when that happens.
So yeah, you gotta look inside yourself. Droids are better anyway, and make some serious decisions about what's important to you.
But you know, don't, you know, do some soul searching. Maybe you're actually a Steve Jobs worshiper yourself, really deep down inside.
Not that there's anything wrong.
Wrong with that. If you know, maybe
we're a mixed household here. I mean, we have both here and. You know, I mean, some people protest that, intermarrying.
Yeah, right,
but,
right.
You know, we're in Iowa City, so it's relatively acceptable.
Yeah, we're fairly liberal here, I guess.
Yeah. And it's not like we rub people's noses in it.
No.
Behind closed doors.
I think most people don't even know.
Yeah, you can't tell by looking.
No. But, and, of course, I am a PC user myself, and... You know, the thing that bothers me most is when I hear people tell jokes about Apple users, And, of course, being the kind of person I am, I say, hey, you know what, that's really not funny. And what they usually say back, their big defense is, oh, you know, I didn't really mean anything, but I've got lots of friends who are Apple users.
Yeah, sure you do. Yeah.
But they're not around right now, are they? Yeah. I noticed that. But, you know, I just think that people just need to be a little more open-minded and droids are better anyway. You know, like I said, don't be afraid to admit that maybe you've got some love for Steve Jobs and Apple that you just don't want to deal with right now, and maybe you'll feel more comfortable down the road, and you'll take that step, and just know that Tony and I are totally supportive of that choice.
I totally experimented with Max in college.
Oh, well, you know,
I mean,
sure.
You know, we all did that kind of stuff then.
Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid. You can do it.
All right. Thanks for your question. Georgia Better anyways. That's a really difficult name to work with. I keep feeling like I'm making that statement.
No, I know. But, you know, it kind of makes me feel good when we get these kind of questions, and we kind of can actually take a little time to be serious and help somebody.
Changing lives.
Yeah.
That's what the hat is really about.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You know, I know we joke around and stuff, but really we just want to make the world better.
Yeah. So.
For people like Droids Are Better Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we're at about 55 minutes, but I want to call it here because my voice is going fast.
All right, well,
my nose is running, and I got no Kleenex over here.
Well, thank you, Droids Are Better Anyway, E and Michelle, for your submissions.
Thank you very much. And this is the last podcast of 2011. They can't all be gems, so shut us. And we will see you on the other side in 2012.
Well, don't forget to remind them about the blog.
Oh, go to the blog. And comment and talk with the people who like to hang out there. The producer even hangs out there sometimes.
Yeah.
The blog at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, go on Facebook and like us. Because we like when you like. In the new year, there may be more social media options for these kind of things.
Oh, good.
We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, we will see you on the other side of this new year.
See you next year.
And in the words of William, a biento. Fucker.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.